Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my time. Okay. This is an exciting time in our movement. We are here at Rec Room and Rec Room Arts. This is a, for some of you guys who are here, who's here for the first time? Who's here for the first time? Great. We are here as anchor tenants, invited to take up residence here because of who we are and because of what we do. So settle in, enjoy your, take a comfortable seat because this is a historical first for our movement. That an organization, if you go look on the website, there are several different kinds of experiences available here. Okay. Oh well, you got. I can't even say in the company of the saints. But let's just say. Look. The Lord don't even want me to say. Hey, he dropped my mic off my. Yes, Lord, I won't say it. No, it's not that I can't say it, but there are just different kinds of art that are being celebrated and expressed here. And so in the same vein that everyone is welcome no matter what they do, no matter how they express their creativity, that is the vein in which we are invited as Christians, you know? And so I'm gonna get this together, y'all, I promise. Thank you, let them use me. Okay, so this is the first time that I've ever been immediately unwilling to preach upon looking at the schedule and learning of the preaching schedule. I want to sit in the back and learn. This thematic series is about going from a scarcity to abundant frame of mind. And I was just like, well, I need to sit in the back. I look at the bank statements every week. For several nonprofit enterprises, I can't see no abundance, so I need to learn about how to just see it because I can't envision it. And so I got some abundance training from Tia. Y'all give it up for Tia, who's our contemplative director and pastor. And Tia's experience comes in several ways. Do y'all know that Tia, without any kind of like grant or raise or a secret $1 million, you know, inheritance, paid off $30,000 in debt as a single mother of two kids.
Wow.
While operating the house that she owned, while paying off a car that she owned, while taking care well of her children and herself, she paid off $30,000 in both college and consumer debt. She also has sold seats for the Houston Rockets. And she sold, and she developed sponsorship relationships at an executive level for years. So when the girl says she know about money, she know how it flows, she know how it go, she know how to say yes, she know how to say what?
No.
Okay. Tim, you can put that on your website. That's free. You ain't got to pay me for that. There you go. I thought she was in the bag. You can use that for the blinking line. So this thematic series also includes some creative expression. It also includes our poet in residence, Nine, who will share from the abundance of his creativity and share from his talent. And so I want you guys to join me in celebrating Nine as we move into the next installment of Scarcity to Abundance. Celebrate Nine.
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who is here?
Wait, we want to record it. Okay.
It's cool.
Thank you.
No problem. No worries. I use this all the time anyway. You know, it's just sometimes when you're in a room that's small enough, you just want to exercise your own muscles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who didn't hear the poem from last week? Be honest. Would you like me to share the poem from last week? It's not
a movement
like the last resident, you know, but hopefully you guys can get something from it. I don't typically read out of my book, but I'm going to do it today, right now for this one, and then we'll move to the next one, okay? We are damaged goods delivered to famished people. The darker hue of apartheid, innocent as Doc McStuffins, but it can get as intense as race riots. We are stopped and frisked. We are Freddie Gray. We are enslaved and enraged in the same sentence. A picture from 1949 and 2016 is no different. The image, a black man hanging from a bridge in Atlanta. We are resilience from dependence. We are independent business owners, victims of church burnings and church murders. We are lovers to the ones that need love, fighters to the ones that need their butt kicked, embraces to the ones that need a hug. We are hungry and struggling, yet shots over nothing, over Skittles, over CDs, over sweet tea, over walking, over running, over and over, overworked, undervalued, the backbone of this republic, the reason why democracy is a word and not political lifestyle, considered hostile even when shedding tears. We are the fears of the people who control from influential positions how they see the downtrodden and imprisoned when they should be praised and uplifted. We are culture, same color, different parts of the world, different oppressors, same struggles. We are pop culture from rock and roll to hitting the juju. We are people, aunties, uncles, sisters, brothers, mothers, and cousins. Darwinism at its finest, evolved from stopped and frisked to harassed and searched to sit-ins and boycotts. The stand your ground law does not apply to you unless you're stood over, overstood, overwhelmed, underfunded, gentrified, over money. We live on land that was never ours and buildings that don't belong to us. We are minorities, the minority, the target of authority, the envy of the majority. We are indigenous, we are glory, overstood, underfunded, killed in public, over nothing, overwhelmed, undercutted, damaged goods to famished people. So this one is notebook involved. I'm just going to say it, and then we can talk about it later. If you want to talk to me about these things, beautiful, let's do that. I'm always up for open discussion. Okay, so here we go. Modern day slaves, they aren't shackled in chains. They're shackled in debt. Modern day drug abusers used in schoolhouse bathrooms. Teachers care less about classrooms, more about standardized tests. Nowadays, kids care less about the knowledge of wisdom, more about the knowledge of sex. The police will beat you within an inch of your death, then take you to jail. Some churches care more about the collection plate than the collection of souls. I had a 12-year-old student tell me, "I don't care about your poems unless you're talking about prose." Now, I kind of made that, like, I edited that. You know what prose is, like, y'all listen to Ludacris?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I made him write. I read poems about prose 500 times. Then I made his mama sign it. He came back and told me that whooping he received, it lit a fire. That whooping it received turned him into a writer. Parents don't do that no more. We turn up with our best friends in constant search for a companion, not realizing your children reenacting your habits in homeroom. Let me tell you what we won't do. Whoop our children when they show their butt, but we give them a Snapchat so they can show their butt on camera to document every time they tried a new drug or witnessed a big fight. Pull out your smartphone, connect to the Wi-Fi. It's hard to understand, so why try? Feed your children some form of truth, but through the world, reality tells lies like Christopher Columbus discovered America when in reality he discovered how to pimp adolescent youth. And for being good, Santa Claus brings gifts to you. So what do you do when one of your students write a letter to Santa to go back to the gang shooting, find his big brother and save him? But he come back from winter break crying and sobbing like big Santa Claus played him. The slave trade is the workforce. We're forced to work 13, 14 hours a day. Well, what do we work for? 15 should be minimum wage, but we're worth more for fist scraps under the table. What do we work for? We slave to the plantation of Sally Mae. No matter if you graduate or not, you gotta pay. 10% of the country's rich, 90% of the country is slaves to something. Think about it. 725 is like working for nothing. It's a design trap. I'd rather hustle than flip patties. These wages inspire less fathers, more baby daddies. Think about it. To choose between lights, gas, water, and mortgages is only a tough decision when you're doing badly. Nobody want to fry chicken for chump change, but for a reasonable wage, we'll do it gladly. Rock the clock like a maverick. Cheap paychecks inspire cheap habits. You won't tell me I can't have it. I'm doing my thing, breaking these chains, because I ain't no modern day slave. Peace.
Yes! 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 Thank you, Nine. Y'all, let's praise God for Nine. Nine, that was powerful. Thank you for your gift. So, this idea of scarcity to abundance, let's just get into it. Is my thing working? Let me turn it off. Is it on? Y'all give me a minute. Oh, there we go. Bam. Okay. We begin every truth communication by communicating our mission. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Mission. We catalyze human flourishing by cultivating spaces where people excavate divine purpose, incubate transformation, and inspire action for good. Let's hit them core values real quick. Ready? Go. Innovation, authenticity, and beauty. It's got to take you forward, it's got to be real, and it's got to be pretty. Okay? So now we're talking about scarcity and abundance. And, oh, there we go. So I told you Tia gave me some abundance training because I needed it. She came to my house and shared with me the thematic series that she created. So this is Tia's thematic series. Y'all give it up for Tia. Because she know where it going, know how it flow, okay? But the rest of us are just learning. But the intention is to allow us time to reflect on the thoughts and beliefs that have shaped our current relationship with money, to reframe that relationship and redirect the energy we put into the chase for more towards sufficiency as the path to abundance. And so this is not a thematic series about giving. This is not a thematic series about our movement's needs specifically. This is an opportunity for everyone in here to revisit what we learned silently about money and the rules that we use to operate money, and then to reframe our understanding of the power and the energy that comes with how we allocate our funds, okay? So this is for us to operate on for the rest of our lives, no matter where we go. We can be in Anchorage, Alaska, you know, allocating, I don't know, snow bills, I don't know. No, they use regular money in Alaska. But this is for us to really think critically about the power that we have and the mark that we want to leave on the world. All right. I'm going to hit that Malachi chip. All right, so we in 2 Kings chapter 4. That Malachi boy, he saw he milled and then he went back to his little rump. He waved it. I was like, ooh! I'm gonna get him to teach me that. I'm gonna be the, come on, baby, teach me how you do that. So we're in 2 Kings, and I had not read this story in years. I forgot about the story. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil." Ariel, can you read the next one for me, the next scripture?
Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of the sons.
Keep going. Oh, man. Well, it's cut off, but what he says is that there are no more jars left. And then she poured the last jar in.
Then the olive oil. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over.
My God, my God. So this widow, it's important to understand where we are. We're 600 years into the children of Israel. They have been freed from the slave trade. They have been, Egypt, Pharaoh has let them go. They have now been living as God's chosen people. They have the Ten Commandments. They have all these, you know, Jewish customs and traditions. One of the customs and traditions that they put in place in Israel as Israel began to develop as a nation is that no one should ever be a slave ever again. That was the law. So these lawmakers that are coming to take these sons as slaves, what the agreement is that if you don't have any money left, you can offer yourself as an indentured servant and work out your debt. But there is a 7-year agreement to that. In the 7th year, that's called the year of Jubilee. No matter what your debt still is, you've worked for 7 years. You are completely free of your debt. You are absolved. You are given amnesty. However, the lawmakers of this time had really kind of gotten away from the Jewish customs and beliefs as the law of the land. They had gotten more with the other secular traditions, started worshiping Baal, started worshiping statues, engaging in the more mainstream customs. And so they had forsaken that law and said, we come in to get your sons, like bump the law. And so at this point, this lady is scared. And so when she goes to Elisha and reminds him of who her husband was, she's like, hey, dog, my husband was one of your boys. My husband was a prophet. He gave his life to this ministry. He gave his life to this sacred teaching, this scriptural way of life. And now he's gone unexpectedly. Y'all need to help me out. Elisha is kind of, he's a prophet, but he's like a governing prophet of that region of Israel that she's in. And so Elisha's not a judge. He's not a lawmaker. He's a prophet. So Elisha's like, what can I do for you? And she's like, did it come with some kind of 401k when he gave his life to the Lord? Does the Lord have an insurance policy or some annuity that I don't know of, a divine annuity? You know, she's like, y'all not about to just forget his family because he's gone. Y'all need to help me. I don't have any money. I don't have a house. I don't have, you know, a bunch of collateral to sell to pay these debts. I've sold everything. The only thing I have left are my sons. Now, my sons may be my insurance policy because as they work and as they grow in their wealth, they'll take care of me. So that's a paycheck too. So I can't give up my survival, my security, trying to pay off my husband's debts. So help the girl out. That's the modern day translation of this scripture. You're welcome. Hook your girl up, 2 Kings chapter 4. So that's where she is. She is in a moment of extreme scarcity. She's looking at a life of poverty. She's looking at possible enslavement herself. She's like, listen, I ain't got nothing, so I need some help. So before we move forward, I want to move into these definitions. Y'all know I like to define words so we're all on the same page. The word sufficient is an adjective, a describing word that means enough and it means adequate, right? Nothing describes sufficiency enough. Nothing describes sufficiency so well as the man who experienced the double rainbow in Yosemite Park. Anybody seen this video? Okay. Can you turn the lights down a little bit? Oh, and turn this, wait. Russell, put the aux cord in my computer so we can hear the sound. We saw a double rainbow. We saw a nice rainbow yesterday, didn't we? That's what reminded me of it. Ready? Is it in there?
My God, it's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man. Whoa. 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 Oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God. Woo. Oh my, oh, wow.
Wait, listen.
Oh my God, look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God.
He's crying. He's starting to cry.
Oh my God. Oh God. What does this mean? Oh, oh my God. Oh. Oh God. It's so bright. Oh my God, it's so bright and vivid. Oh. 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 It's so beautiful.
He's crying again. So, we also want to talk about currency, because this man was on a hike to Yosemite Park using his own energy. He wasn't at a hotel in Bali at a 7-star resort. He wasn't in, what's that place? He wasn't in Third Ward. What's that place all the rich people go? Tasha, where'd y'all go? Dubai. Where you do buy everything. You know, he wasn't in Dubai. He was in the park on a hike. And that double rainbow was enough to bring him to tears. That double rainbow was a sufficient experience for him. He didn't need anything else. And so I love him as a mascot for sufficiency. But I want to talk about currency. Gretchen, would you read the definition of currency, please?
A system of money in general use of a particular country. The fact or quality of being used by many people.
Okay, so check this out. Read that, Gretchen.
Condition of flowing from the Latin currens, present participle of
currere.
Currere, to run. Describes the sense of a flow or course extended to a circulation of money.
So when you talk about currency, we talk about this like cash flow. This is the original intention of that word that was extended to money. It didn't mean money, but it was extended to money because we all in this country agree on one form of currency, but we agree on the flow of value that we communicate through money. So this is the heart and this is the root of the energy and the intention and the fear, that whatever the intense emotion you feel around money, like this is the heart of the word and the heart of the root of it, okay? But I wanna just allow you all to just hang up your feelings about money for a second and just without judgment, explore this concept for the next 10 minutes. All right, can we do that? All right. So there is this pathway from scarcity to abundance. When we're in this scarce mindset, we're always thinking about how we can get more, we're doing all these little tricks, doing all these little hacks, like what can I, looking online, see where I can telecommute and make easy money, $17 an hour to just sit on the phone and use my own computer. Like we're doing all of these little tricks and hacks and shortcuts to gain more money. What can I sell? Or what can I go just do real quick? How can I, go somewhere or do something that'll get my immediate needs met, that'll get this immediate desire met, that'll get this anxiety of not having what I need off of me, right? So we think we need to go directly from scarcity to abundance. But the reality is there's a middle space called sufficiency that we need to arrive to and fully digest and experience that is an important destination on the journey to abundance. Okay? Sufficiency, this is my abundance training guru, Tia Norman, sharing these principles with me. Sufficiency starts with aligning with soulful commitment. So before we spend another dollar, let's stop time and assess how our soulful commitment aligns with our financial decisions, okay? Oh, Lord, can you hit play again, please? Hit play one more time for me, Russell. Well, there we go. Thank you. I think I hit the wrong button. That's my first time using this remote. I guess I can put the cord down, huh? All right. See, why does it keep doing that? Hit play again. Oh, you know what I think is up? Russell, the wrong one is up. Or Devon, the wrong one is up. Go to Open Recent. Go to sufficiency.key. Yeah, now go up. That's the end. Go all the way up. So that's your invitation. So now go right there, right under the video. Yeah, there you go. Bam. Thank you all. Thank you all for y'all, give it up for my husband back there on the computer. Your support is so silent, so quiet, but so strong. Okay. There we go, bam. Okay. Whoop. Okay. All right, so we can realign our relationship with money to one that's consistent with our core values, right? But we have to stop and do some inquiry first, you know? So turn and talk to somebody real quick and just ask yourself. Everybody's chasing some kind of value, right? We all chasing value. The value that I'm chasing is like this higher good significance value. What value am I chasing? Turn and talk to your neighbor and answer that question right now. Question, because your values really should only be one word. Does what I'm chasing line up with my deepest desire for more? Go, turn and talk. Hit the music one more time for me, y'all. Does what I'm chasing line up with my deepest desire for more? We all desire more, but more of what, right? So respond to that question now. Put a pin in it. So listen, guys, when we chase things, we want that paper chaser, you know? Got the block on what?
Fire.
When you chase things, that chasing energy, that intensity that makes it become a chase, that rapid, speedy pursuit is a form of hunger. And what we really hunger for is to really make a difference with our lives. At the end of the day, you know, what we really want, even the most evil villain in the movie, the world domination that they seek is because they want to affect people's lives. Now, their intentions may be twisted, and their minds may be rooted in other intentions besides the greater good. But at our core, we just want to make a difference. But so many traumatic things happen to us over time. We lose people. We lose beliefs. We lose houses. We lose vehicles. We lose property. We lose cars. We lose ideals. We lose hope because we've never seen what we hope for, so we don't have physical evidence that it's possible. And so instead of making decisions with our funds that make a difference, we make decisions with our funds that are just different than what we used to know. We just decide that we want to live differently than we were raised. We decide that we want to live differently in this relationship than we did in the last relationship. We decide that we want to look different. And so we start making financial decisions out of the desire to have a different physical experience and not out of a purely spiritual desire to make a difference in the world. Do you see how those things are different? Do you see the dissonance between the two? And so when you look at over time what we have to show for our money, the investments don't have a return because it's a closet full of stuff that we don't like no more. You know, it's a maybe a driveway full of vehicles that serve their purpose but don't give us joy anymore. In my uncle's case, a fish tank full of exotic fish that he really doesn't want to take care of, but he thought would be like really cool to have. And so now you got this like shark in your house that's like hungry, and you're like, how did I end up with a shark, you know? But here's the thing about money. If you want to know where your soul is right now, where your money goes carries the stamp of where your soul is. Because money is a contribution of your spirit. So if you want to assess where your spirit is, your bank statement is like a spiritual report. Okay? And we have to look at it. We have to know the flow of our currency. We have to know where that energy is flowing. Because if we don't know, it's either because we avoid knowing or because we know and we just don't want to think about it. But we have to look and see, do my ideals and what I want to produce in the world, do they line up with my spending? And so unless we believe that H&M and Chick-fil-A are, you know, ways to really change the world, we need to assess how many line items are associated with those businesses and how many line items are associated with like generous contributions to organizations, things, products, and people that make the world a better place. And that's a hard look. But I invite you to do that when you go home. So look at last month. Don't even look at the whole thing. Just look at June. Where are we at? July? Yeah, look at June. See how went your soul in June. What we give is directly proportional to what we believe we have. So if we are operating with this idea that we are in scarcity, and we are operating with this idea that we are poor, and we are operating in this idea that we are somehow inferior, then we will give out of a place of poor, inferior mentality. And with that comes the anxious grappling energy, that anxious grappling spirit. So as you assess your spending, also assess what you really had last month, right? And how you allocated it, right? I need to move up a little bit. I just don't want to be in y'all's way. So Lynn Twist, the author of the foundational text that is guiding this thematic series, is called The Soul of Money, right, Tia? She says that you need to know the flow. Let your soul inform your money, and let your money express your soul. Without a show of hands, maybe just like wiggle your eyebrows at me, how many of us know we need to do more intentional work around our money expressing the true intentions of our soul? You ain't gotta really like put yourself out there, just wiggle them at me. Okay, good, thank you. Thank you for those wiggles. I won't tell nobody. So we can learn some really interesting fruit-bearing practices from the widow, right? The first thing is, dude, I'm so amazed. We must begin by acknowledging that who we are and what we have is enough. Like standing firm on the ground that we stand on when we wake up in the morning before we put anything on. Say that with me, starting with who. Ready, go. Who we have, who we are, and what we have is enough. I messed it up. Let's do it again. Ready, go. Who we are and what we have is enough, right? So what Elisha asked her to do is to assess her true needs. He said, okay, so what do you need from me? You know, she was like, I need help paying the debt to get my sons out of these people's line of sight in terms of collateral. So right now, what we can do is assess our true needs. So if your brain is like a computer, right? What we have open right now is a screen that assesses all of our needs for the rest of the year, the month, whatever the big time period is. Okay, this is what all my bills look like. This is what all my debts look like. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is a nice round number that it would be nice to have. And then we start to gain, I'm getting a little anxious right now just thinking about that. Like if you're looking at that big old macrocosmic view, like you on a Google Earth view of your needs, right? What if we minimize that screen and we open up a screen for today? That's good. Just click out of it in your mind real quick. Just click it down. Don't click it away, because we understand our needs are important. Your needs are important. But just click it down for today. Where do you have to go today? You might have quarter tank of gas, what's that, 3-4 gallons? You get by, what, 22, 23 miles per gallon? Do you need to go more than 60 miles today? You got what you need to get where you need to go today. What about food? Do you have the food that you need for today? What's in your refrigerator? What's in your cupboard? If you don't have a whole lot of money, you might have that hot 15 to take to the store. Guess what that hot 15 will get you? That hot 15 will get you beans, rice, oatmeal, bread, peanut butter, and jelly. You have breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the next week, my friends. And some what? And some Rotel, add a little spice of life. And you done already built up your seasonings, so you don't have to buy no new seasonings. You already got your salt, your pepper, your Lowry's, your Tony's, you already got that. So you got gas, you got food. But where you gotta go today, do you have the clothes you need? We're dressed. You can wear this all day. You done came with your Sunday best on. You contemplate a casual, you can go where you need to go all day. Do you have somewhere to lay your head down for the next 8 hours when you get done with the day?
Yes.
So you got what you need for today. Yeah. Do you have more than you need for today?
Absolutely.
So today you're what?
Ahead.
Ahead. So are we scarce today? No. Are we scarce in that today's screen? Are we scarce right now?
No.
We got a little overflow. We got some rollover till tomorrow, don't we? So what if we approached every day that way and said, okay, what do I need for today? Does that mean we completely forget about our obligations Do we forget about our, you know, long-term debts? Absolutely not. But that money ain't due today. That loan payment might be due, what's today, the 9th? Mine due on the 23rd, baby. I got some more weeks to worry about that money, right? But do you feel the energy shift when you minimize that big old screen and then you opened up just today's screen? I believe that shift is you shifting into a place of sufficiency. God's grace and what I have is sufficient for today. So you assess your present needs. You assess what you presently have. We just did that. Then you intentionally and obediently invite your community to play a part. Elisha said, okay, what do you have? She said, I got a one jar of oil. That's all I have. That's not even enough. And oil in that time was used for cooking. It was used medically. It was used cosmetically. Olive oil was used then, kind of like how it can be used now. Just everything. You can just cook it. You can slather it. You know, you can use it. You know, it's a universal salve, right? So what he said to her was, invite your neighbors to lend you a jar. Don't call your neighbors and run them all down for money and tell them how much you need. Don't call your neighbors and hound them to buy your product. Don't call your neighbors and give them a sob story and expect to manipulate them and elicit pity from them and see if they'll offer you something because you know they got some money because you just saw them pull up and pull a TV into their house, you know? Intentionally and obediently decide, okay, what do I have and how can I invite my community to be a part? Going to each house, those sons were like, hey, Miss so-and-so, do you have an empty jar? They were probably so happy to get that empty jar off their shelf. Like, oh, yes, I got this jar. I've been wondering how to recycle it. Here you go, baby. Take, you need some more? Your mama needs some more? Because I got some more empty jars in here. I'm trying to declutter my space. So they end up asking in a way that is manageable and easy for other people to play a part, right? And here's the thing. The people that were given those jars, when they learned what God did with that oil, with their jars, the gift of being a part of that miracle is so much incrementally more valuable to them than the jar probably cost them. And they probably got that jar back like, oh, I'm about to go in here and pull some oil myself. Like they had a new point of reference for what God could do. So inviting folks obediently to play a part in what we are all doing individually in terms of aligning our soulful ambitions with how we're spending our money gives everybody a chance to witness and experience God's miracle, right? But that's between you and your God. How is God calling you to invite people to play a part? It might be inviting people to come to a Zanzette catering event and get their socks blown off by a fillet of salmon. You know, it may be inviting people to come to Crumville. It may be inviting people to your seminars and to your workshops and to be a part of your discussions. It may be having a community therapy session and then inviting people to just give towards the next round of community therapy. Yeah, it's free, but we want to sow into the next round of healing, right, Brian? Intentionally and obediently invite your community to play a part and watch God fill those jars. That scripture says she had enough oil to sell for her and her sons to live off of, baby. So she had enough to pay her bills and live. They was going to like the Israelite Sea World. It was like the Israelite zoo probably was still woolly mammoths at the zoo and stuff. They were like, yes, that oil has paid our way, right? And sufficiency carries this beautiful surprise in the enough space, also known as a double rainbow. So you'll be like chilling, like I'm good, like I have what I need for today. And you'll just encounter all of these beautiful surprises that God has for you when you go where you're supposed to go and nowhere else. You run into people that you were supposed to run into that yield other opportunities. You know that has happened in your life. LU is just at the grocery store getting some more flour. And somebody came up to you and was like, what? I need 400,000 cookies tomorrow. And she's like, okay, I got that. Let me get a couple more bags of flour then. You know? And then you see that little post on Instagram, up baking. Every time I see that, I'd be like. Yes, like, Lord. I like it. I want some more in my life, Lord. insufficiently we recognize and we celebrate money's power to do good, not to paralyze us and terrify us and make us less and worse than everybody else. But what we have can do good, right? And then that relaxed and faithful, and let's read that together. Ready? Go. The relaxed and faithful energy that we experience as we recognize our sufficiency positions us to receive and wisely steward more. Most of us, if we got what we thought we wanted in June, we would have went straight to that Galleria. We would have went straight to that bar. We would have went straight online and was just Amazon, just boxes just flying at your doorstep. Trying to overcompensate for these months and months before of lack, you know? But now that we stop time and have that space to really understand what we soulfully want to do to make a difference in the world and how God has met our needs today, when we do arrive to a place where we are attracting and amassing more, we now can remember, hey, I said I want to make a difference. I got a little extra, now I can throw that extra to that difference I want to make. Ooh, and that felt good. I want to throw a little more towards that difference. Now that difference has become a priority in my life, and the intangible things, the benefits that I get from making that difference have made me more productive over here, which has caused me to increase my productivity, which has caused me to increase my income and increase my opportunities, which has caused me to increase my influence, which has caused me to make a difference with my life. You see how that works? And our needs and our wants and the desires that we have are met. So here's the invitation. Let today be the first day that we experiment with becoming known for what we allocate and not what we accumulate. Become known for what you nurture and produce in the world instead of what you accumulate and hoard and keep and store up in your house. You don't want to clean that stuff and maintain it anyway. And the things that you do accumulate will be so unique and authentic to who you are that they will provide joy, they will provide rest, and they will provide ease in your life. You won't own things that end up owning you. You'll have what you want and what you need for a fulfilling, nourishing life. So this is the offering moment. I ran a little over. Supposed to end at 11:15. Sorry about that, Tia. But this is the offering moment, and this moment is an experiment in aligning your soul's intentions with the allocation of your funds today. Become known today for what you allocate and not what you accumulate. The doors of the altar and the offering moment is now. Make your offering. You can either make it here or you can make it online using Secure Give. You can use an envelope, write your name on the envelope, and you will be given the tax credit for your offering come tax time. The offering moment is now, so you're welcome to come. Thank you. Our artists in residence are gonna score this time, but I want us to really think about aligning our expenses with our intentions.